Good morning. Welcome to church on the 10th of June, third Sunday of Pentecost. Few announcements this morning, nothing really that I know terribly pressing. Conrad reunion today is day after service. Council meeting tomorrow. And next Sunday, Pastor Matt will have a final Houston trip meeting with the youth that are going to Houston. Anybody else have any other announcements they need to make? Miss Tony.
There is a print in the church markets that the scholarship committee is raffling off. So if you'd like tickets, see Kim Payne or myself, or Joe's here.
Thank you. Any other announcements? Birthdays today, before or after. Birthdays today, we'll do that, then we'll do the prayer shawls. Happy birthday to John, Tim, Ben, Norris, Dottie, Paul, William, and Ross. Happy anniversary to Joe and Bonnie, Joe and Jennifer, John Michael, and Teresa Fritz. Let us pray. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand. Comfort them when discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall. And in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Have a few prayer shawls.
Raven Hilton, she's going to be having surgery on the 19th, and she needs our prayers. And this is for Sharon Pierce and Rhonda Biggs. Their father died, and so they need our prayers. And then these two are for our grandson, Eli Green. He's going to graduate on Thursday, and his girlfriend Katie's also going to graduate, and they're going to Western. So
thank you.
Please stand as we begin worship on page 211 in the red hymnal. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin
and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name.
In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. By grace, we have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, our sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen us with power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in our hearts through faith. Amen. Before I do the greeting this morning, I forgot to mention in the announcements that Gary Lopp, we did a prayer shawl for him last Sunday, son of Roy and Vivian Lopp, passed away this past Tuesday morning in Chapel Hill. Keep them in your prayers, please. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. All-powerful God, in Jesus Christ, you turn death into life and defeat into victory. Increase our faith and trust in him that we may triumph over all evil in the strength of the same Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Congregation, be seated.
Well, I don't know about you guys, but I'm pretty happy that school is out. Feeling pretty good about that. So I thought that we would sign this paper saying that you're happy school is out, okay? So Rosla, I'll let you go first. What's wrong? Oh, there's no lead. Oh, okay, let's try it this way. Okay, there you go. Okay, just sign right there that you're happy school is out. Is that hard? You're making it look way too easy. You're messing it all up. Well, that's supposed to be hard, too. So, was it kind of hard? A little hard? So, you have your pencil, but you don't have any lead in it, right? So, it's really hard to write with a pencil without lead. And it's supposed to be really hard to write with just this teeny little bit of lead. Well, the reason that I brought this today is because Matthew's getting ready to read the gospel lesson, which is going to be Mark, the third chapter. And in that, there's all these people, and they're just not happy at all. They're so crowded, they can't even eat. They're saying bad things about Jesus. It's just a mess. And Jesus says, a house divided cannot stand. So think about your house. If we went and cut it in half, it would fall down, right? Well, a pencil divided cannot write, right? So Jesus is trying to tell the crowd by saying a house divided cannot stand that we have to work together. And we have to work in His name, in God's name, for things to work out. So let's try this again. Let's put this together. Now try. Is it easier, Rosalie?
Yes.
Conrad, you want to put your name?
Mm-hmm.
No, we got to use the good one now. Just play along. Wow, you are ready for school. Very good, Conrad. So I want you to try to remember this pencil, and I want you to remember that we can't do as well if we're divided, can we? We have to work together. I hope the whole world hears this. We have to work together, and we have to keep God in our hearts for things to work the way they should. Let's say a prayer. Dear God.
Dear God.
Thank you for Jesus.
Thank you for Jesus.
Who teaches us.
Who teaches us.
How to invite you into our lives.
How to invite you into our lives.
So that we can work together.
So that we can work together.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you guys for coming, and I assume we have children. Yep, we have children's church.
The first lesson day is from Genesis, the third chapter. They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden at the time of the evening breeze, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" He said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself." He said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman whom you gave to me, she gave me fruit from the tree, and I ate." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent tricked me, and I ate." The Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you among all animals and among all wild creatures. Upon your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will strike your head, and you will strike his heel." Here ends the reading. The psalm for today is Psalm 130, and be read responsibly by whole verse. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord.
Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications.
If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, Lord, who could stand? I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word I hope.
My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch till morning, more than those who watch till morning.
O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is a steadfast love, and with him is great power to redeem. Second reading day is from 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter. But just as we have the same spirit of faith that is in accordance with Scripture, I believed and so I spoke. We also believe and so we speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and will bring us with you into his presence. Yes, everything is for your sake, so that grace, as it extends to more and more people, may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. So we do not lose heart. Even though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. For this slight momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all measure. Because we look not at what can be done, not what can be seen, but at what cannot be seen. For what can be seen is temporary, but what cannot be seen is eternal. For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Here ends the reading.
Gospel according to Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. And the crowd came together again so that they could not even eat. When his family heard it, they went out to restrain him, for people were saying, "He has gone out of his mind." And the scribes who came down from Jerusalem said, "He has Beelzebul, and by the ruler of the demons he cast out demons." And he called them to him and spoke to them in parables. How can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand, but his end has come. But no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his property without first tying up the strong man. Then indeed the house can be plundered. Truly I tell you, people will be forgiven for their sins and whatever blasphemies they utter. But whoever blasphemies against the Holy Spirit can never have forgiveness, but is guilty of an internal sin. For they had said, "He has an unclean spirit." Then his mother and his brothers came, and standing outside, they sent to him and called him. A crowd was sitting around him, and they said to him, "Your mother and your brothers and sisters are outside asking for you." And he replied, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" And looking at those who sat around him, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Back in early February, the baseball team received some artificial turf, and we were putting them in our batting cages. And we were trying to do this, save money, so we were kind of rednecking it and going through and just using what we had. And I had got this tractor, it's kind of small, but it had a scoop on the front. We needed to move this AstroTurf from basically where these batting cages were up to our bullpens, which was probably 500 feet. And we couldn't lift it. So I got this bright idea. I said, oh, we can cut it and roll it and put it on the front of this tractor and I'll just drive it up there. I didn't account for a hill that I was going to have to drive up. And as I'm driving up, my wife walks up with our daughter, and she gets to witness the back end of the tractor start to lift off the ground, and another coach come running, jump on the back of it, and weigh it back down. The only thing she said, are you crazy? You're getting ready to die in front of your daughter. Well, there's lots of situations like that where we ask if someone we know might be going crazy, might be going insane. But what if we ask that question of Jesus? In verse 21 today, they're basically saying, this guy's insane. Now, this kind of shocking statement, it can kind of help us understand the ways that people viewed Jesus during his early ministry. It tells us that people are quite alarmed by his behavior. And we find out that his family was alarmed. It says that when his friends heard it, they went out to seize him, for they heard that now he is insane. So there's a couple different interpretations. And we could take the compassionate interpretation. Basically, the family's actions suggest that maybe they're just concerned that Jesus was taking sufficient physical care of himself. And that his family was taking an intervention type action out of this loving concern and support for him. They wanted to make sure that he was eating right, not working too hard. But I don't believe this was their intentions. Probably the more accurate view of this reading is that the family had a total lack of sympathy for the nature of Jesus' ministry. In fact, if you read in John 7, verse 5, it goes on to say that his brothers didn't believe in him. Now, some people believe Jesus performed many miraculous deeds all of his life. They believe Jesus was so divine that everyone who knew him would be amazed at this perfect human being. But if you prefer to emphasize the humanity of Jesus and believe that the first miracle that he ever performed was probably the wedding at Cana. He grew up a normal boy. His brothers who lived with him just thought of him as a brother. They were surprised when he started preaching. And they learned some of the things that he was saying and they wanted him to quit. They came as a group ready to seize him, to get him away from the crowds and kind of deprogram him from the way that he had been teaching. But when the family arrived, there was such a crowd that they couldn't get in to see him. So they just sent a message and he left them standing outside. He asked, who are my mother and my brothers? He acknowledged no special ties or obligation to them. Now, Jesus also alarmed the Pharisees, but we're much more familiar with all the negative reactions that come from them. The Pharisees from Jerusalem had made the considerable journey back to Galilee to look into Jesus' sensation. And they said his power was not a good power. He had been taken over by a demonic spirit. And they went to warn the crowds about him. So their reaction led Jesus to make his statement about what they called the unpardonable sin. It's a statement that has frequently been misinterpreted and has unnecessarily disturbed many people. Lots of people worry that they've committed what he calls the unpardonable sin. When you become aware of the consequences of sin, you often feel that your sin's unforgivable. It really means that we can't forgive ourselves. I believe God is often much more forgiving of our sins than we are. But if you read the passage carefully, you'll find that Jesus was saying that the religious leaders couldn't tell the difference between God's work and Satan's work. As I started doing some research with this, there was a man, his name is William Barclay. He does a lot of just writings and general religious documents. And he explains it this way. It says, if a man by repeated refusals of God's guidance has lost the ability to recognize goodness when he sees it, if he has got his moral values inverted until evil to him is good and good to him is evil, then even when he is confronted by Jesus, he is conscious of no sin. He cannot repent, and therefore he can never be forgiven. Well, personally, I believe the only unforgivable sin is to refuse the forgiveness of God. Those who refuse to accept his salvation, those who refuse to throw themselves on the mercy of God, those who refuse to accept Jesus Christ, those are the only ones who have committed the unpardonable sin. Now, at the end of the passage, Jesus turns again to address the issue of family. And he asks, he says, behold, my mother and my brothers. And in his reply, Jesus offered kind of a redefinition of family. And in the process, gave a great definition of the church. He portrays a vision of the family of God. He looks at it as this discipleship that may cost our old natural family ties, but if we do the will of God, we discover ourselves as a member of a new family. Now, Jesus' statement moves the value of human relationships beyond the physical to what we call the spiritual. Back when Pastor Matt first asked me to do the sermon today, I told him yes. I started looking at, well, first of all, I did the reading and tried to figure out, okay, what am I going to talk about? And I came across an article that I ended up using as a part of an FCA devotion because it was right before Mother's Day. So with Father's Day coming up, it kind of goes hand in hand. When you go to start looking at Mother's Day, Father's Day, I'm calling it kind of Parenthood Day at this point. You start to look at the family of faith. And we celebrate Jesus because being a parent is not so much about the biology, but as the relationship. And here's an article, and I don't like to do this very often, but I'm going to actually read the entire article. It's not very long. But a man named William Peek published this, and it describes a scene that took place when a mother and daughter are talking. And it kind of describes this kind of relationship that I think Jesus was looking for. It's what he called sacrificial love. So here's how the article goes. It says, we're sitting at lunch when my daughter casually mentions that she and her husband are thinking of starting a family. We're taking a survey, she says. Do you think I should have a baby? It will change your life, I say, carefully keeping my tone neutral. I know, she says, no more sleeping in on weekends, no more spontaneous vacations. But that's not what I meant at all. I look at my daughter trying to decide what to tell her. I want her to know that what she will never learn in a childbirth class. I want to tell her that the physical wounds of childbearing will heal, but that becoming a mother will leave her with an emotional wound so raw that she will forever be vulnerable. I consider warning her that she will never again read a newspaper without asking, what if that had been my child? That every plane crash, every house fire will haunt her, that when she sees pictures of starving children, she will wonder if anything could be worse than watching your child die. I look at her carefully manicured nails and stylish suit and think that no matter how sophisticated she is, becoming a mother will reduce her to the primitive level of a bear protecting her cub. That an urgent call of mom will cause her to drop a pancake or her best crystal without a moment's hesitation. I feel I should warn her that no matter how many years she has invested in her career, she will be professionally derailed by motherhood. She might arrange for childcare, but one day she'll be going into an important business meeting and she will think of her baby's sweet smell. She will have to use every ounce of her discipline to keep from running home just to make sure her baby is all right. I want my daughter to know that everyday decisions will no longer be routine. that a five-year-old boy's desire to go to the men's room rather than the women's at McDonald's will become a major dilemma. That's right, in the midst of clattering trays and screaming children, issues of independence and gender identity will be weighed against the prospect that a child molester may be lurking in that restroom. However decisive she may be at the office, she will second-guess herself constantly as a mother. Looking at my daughter, I want to assure her that eventually she will shed the pounds of pregnancy, but she will never feel the same about herself, that her life, now so important, will be of less value to her once she has a child, that she would give it up in a moment to save her offspring, but will also begin to hope for more years, not to accomplish her own dreams, but to watch her child accomplish theirs. My daughter's relationship with her husband will change, but not in the way she thinks. I wish she could understand how much more you can love a man who is careful to clean the baby or who never hesitates to play with his child. I think she should know that she will fall in love with him again for reasons that she would now find very unromantic. I wish my daughter could sense the bond she will feel with women throughout history who have tried to stop war, prejudice, and drunk driving. I hope she will understand why I can think rationally about most issues but become temporarily insane when I discuss the threat of a nuclear war to my children's future. I want to describe to my daughter the exhilaration of seeing your child learn to ride a bike. I want to capture for her the belly laugh of a baby who is touching the soft fur of a dog or a cat for the first time. I want her to taste the joy that is so real it actually hurts. My daughter's look makes me realize that tears have formed in my eyes. "You'll never regret it," I finally say. Then I reach across the table, squeeze my daughter's hand, and offer a silent prayer for her and for me and for all the mere mortal women who stumble their way into this most wonderful of callings, this blessed gift from God, that of being a mother. So in that wonderful description of motherhood or parenthood, and it's so good because it emphasizes what Jesus was looking for, sacrificial love. And that love that we can experience in the family of faith as well. So, who is my mother? Who is my brother? Well, it's those that will do the will of God. Those who will love like Jesus loves. Those who, regardless of their biological relationship, capture the spirit of sacrificial love. So, the good news for all of us is that God loves each one of us with a parent's love, a sacrificial love. Amen.
Oh, my dear, hold this in time.
Let us say what it is we believe by use of the Apostles' Creed found on the screen. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell.
On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right
hand of the Father. Come again, judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, forgiveness of sins, resurrection of the body, the life everlasting. Amen. Filled with the Holy Spirit, we join in the church in every place, praying for the world that God so loves. Lord God, you call our church to be one and teach us that a house divided against itself cannot stand. Overcome our separations in the body of Christ and make us one diverse family, the brothers and sisters of Jesus. Lord, in your mercy, Lord God, with you there is forgiveness and hope, and you love your whole creation. Help us order our lives so that human activity in your certain creation gives voice to hope. Empower us to bring healing in your world. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, you still walk among us and still hide ourselves from you out of fear. We withdraw from strangers and those unlike ourselves, the very people you call us to love. Replace our fear with trust. Remove enmity between nations and grant us peace. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, your compassion continually reaches into the lives of your people. Visit the love and kindness those experiencing afflictions of any kind, especially our members on the prayer list and friends of the church, any others we say now. Renew all of us and prepare us for glory so that we do not lose heart. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, more than those who watch for the morning, our souls wait and watch for you. In the coming months of summer, help us to be refreshed and at play, watching and waiting for you at every turn. Lord, in your mercy. By the sure guidance of your Holy Spirit, O God, we lift up our prayers and trust in thanksgiving through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Peace of Christ be with you always. We share a sign of God's peace.
I feel the touch of hands so kind and tender. They're leading me in paths that I must trod. I have no fear when Jesus walks beside me. For I'm sheltered in the arms of God. So let the storms rage high, the dark clouds rise, they don't worry me. For I'm sheltered safe within the arms of God. He walks with me, and naught of earth shall harm me. For I'm sheltered in the arms of God. Soon I shall hear the call from heaven's portals. Come home, my child, it's the last mile you must trod. I'll fall asleep and wake in God's green heaven. Sheltered safe within the arms of God. So let the storms rage high, the dark clouds rise, they don't worry me, for I'm sheltered safe within the arms of God. He walks with me, and naught of earth shall harm me, for I'm sheltered in the arms of God. Yes, I'm sheltered in the arms of God.
We pray as Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory,
Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless us now and forever.
Amen.
State our mission statement is found in the bulletin. As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit,
our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world.
Thank you. Pastor Matt is scheduled to be back with us next Sunday, and I promise even if he comes back screaming and kicking, he will be here. Go in peace, serve the Lord until your heart looks like God's heart.
Thank you.